Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 11. We'll get started. This is our 44th lesson in Romans. Next week, we will be hitting the olive tree. And I don't know yet if we're going to spend 1 or 2 weeks on that, because there are some verses we have to chase about the olives and why it's an olive tree and what the tree means in prophecy. And then we've got to explain the passage. When you come to Romans 9 through 11, you really need to have an understanding of the rest of your Bible, as you've been seeing. Otherwise, we'll really trip over a lot of these verses and break our necks over them doctrinally. And so what Paul's doing in Romans 9 through 11 is explaining why, what happened to Israel. Why didn't Israel get the salvation and the fulfillment of their promises that God had been promising them since the beginning of the world? Why is it that they didn't? Why is it that they stumbled? Why is it they fell? And what was the result of that? And the reason why he's writing this, as we'll see tonight, is that there were Gentiles, there were people in Rome. Remember, Paul hadn't been to Rome. Remember, Peter hadn't been to Rome. And yet there were people who believed in Christ in Rome, amongst them Gentiles. Okay, and they were believing in Christ as a result of Jesus' earthly ministry or Peter's ministry. And no doubt they were fighting with the Jews there. You could speculate perhaps that's the reason why the Roman rulers kicked the Jews out. If you read the book of Acts, you read there's a time where they said all the Jews get out. And that's why Aquila and Priscilla had to leave Rome, leave Italy. Okay. But meanwhile, Paul's writing to the Romans and explaining, hey, look, just because Israel fell doesn't mean that they're worthless, doesn't mean they can't get saved, doesn't mean you shouldn't be trying to get them saved. Okay, and that's what he's describing in Romans 9 through 11, about why they fell, what they missed, and how God is faithful to keep his promises to them. So we need to remember the context in Romans 11, because this chapter really is a conclusion to what Paul's been talking about the last two chapters. So you can't just jump to Romans 11 and think you're going to understand it just reading this chapter. You need to understand Romans 9 and 10 and all the prophecies that he quotes with that to understand what's going on here. And so there's some pretty thick material tonight and the next week as well if we don't know those passages. So we'll just start out tonight by reading the verses, and then we'll go through and explain them. We ended last week, or ended on Sunday rather, talking about Romans 11, 7 through 10, about the blinding of Israel. And then verse 11, Paul says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, and as much as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? And so you read these verses, and probably what sticks out to you, in contrast to the last two chapters, is that the word Gentiles is used, I think, three times here. Okay, it just kind of pops out at you. And yet, Gentiles is not the point of the passage. Okay, if you look at every verse, Paul's intent and focus, even though he says, I speak to you, Gentiles, in verse 13, is for Israel's salvation. You see every verse there, him having that intent? He says in verse 11, the purpose is for to provoke them to jealousy. In verse 12, how much more their fullness? And in verse 14, he says that I might save some of them. Verse 15, the receiving of them. All the thems there is Israel. Okay, he's talking about Israel and God's people there. And so his intent is speaking, yes, to Gentiles, Romans 11, 13, about Israel's salvation. So the question we need to ask is, who are these Gentiles? Which we'll be getting to tonight as well. Because not every place in the Bible you find a Gentile, does that mean they're in the body of Christ? And if the last two chapters give us any contextual evidence about who these people are, they're not you. Okay, because Romans 9 and 10 doesn't include the church, the body of Christ. It's talking about the remnant. Okay, so we'll be dealing with that tonight. And so we also need to remember, especially Romans 9, things that we've learned. If you remember back weeks ago in Romans chapter 9, we learned a few things. One is that not all of Israel gets the promises. And so we introduced that concept that there is a remnant of Israel that gets the promises, not everybody that's ever been a Jew. Okay, and so that's something that really is missed by a lot of Christianity. They don't understand there's two Israels. There's unbelieving Israel and believing Israel. Even Jesus' earthly ministry, he came to divide the faithful from the unfaithful. Okay, and so that's what Paul says in Romans 9, 6. Not all of Israel gets them. And people who get them are those who are in God's purpose. Remember, he chose not all of Abraham, but Isaac, not all of Isaac, but Jacob. Not even all of Jacob's 12 tribes, but only the faithful among them actually receive the promises. Okay, not all of them. And so God has a purpose, and he tells what his purpose is. And throughout the scriptures, he told his purpose to Israel, and they would only get it if they were faithful to be in it, okay, in his purpose. We also learn in Romans 9 that God can respond to sinners how he pleases. He can give mercy, or he can give a hard hand, severity, to sinners because they're all sinners. Okay, so he can respond to them how he pleases. And of course, he responds according to his purpose. And so he shows mercy to those who are in his purpose, and he shows hardness and severity to those who are not. And that's not God's fault, whether or not you're a Jew. If he shows severity to you, if you don't get into his purpose, that's his choosing. Okay. We also learned in Romans 9 there are two vessels and there's one lump. And we'll get to this next week a little bit more. Remember back in Romans 9 how there was one lump of clay and God made two vessels out of it? Remember that? A vessel of honor, a vessel of dishonor. We went back to Jeremiah and we learned about how the potter was God and the clay was Israel. And out of that clay, there was two vessels. There was one of dishonor, disobedient Israel. And then there was one of honor, obedient Israel. And he took the one of dishonor and just broke it. Remember that? And so there's two vessels, one lump. Again, emphasizing that there's faithful Israel, the remnant, and unfaithful Israel, disobedient Israel. We also learn in Romans 9, just briefly, Romans 9:24, that Paul mentioned when talking about that remnant and that vessel of honor, that Gentiles could be part of that. Okay, in time past, back in Jeremiah's day, back in David's day, back in Israel's day, in the Old Testament back here, there was a separation between Israel, Jews, and Gentiles. Okay? Jews were given the oracles. The Jews had a land promise. They had a seed promise. They had a blessing promise to be over the Gentiles. And yet Gentiles had also a provision for salvation. Gentiles in time past could be blessed by blessing Israel. Remember that. And so it wasn't that God forgot about the Gentiles entirely. It's that in time past they had to go through Israel. Okay? And so we learn in Romans 9 that Jew and Gentiles both could be a part of that faithful vessel, that purpose of God for Israel. That's going to be important tonight as we study in Romans 11 about the Gentiles, okay? Because he'll mention Gentiles three times, and those Gentiles aren't going to be you. Those Gentiles are going to be Gentiles in Israel's program, okay? And so we learned about that. And so Romans 9, verse 30, remember back in Romans 9 where Paul says that the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness. So the Gentiles, speaking about Gentiles in time past, who by faith blessed Israel, did what God said, they got something that unbelieving, unfaithful, disobedient Israel did not. Okay? And that's what he's talking about there in Romans 9. So if you understand or remember those lessons we learned back in Romans 9 and 10, it'll help us with our reading of Romans 11:11 here. Okay? And so if you look at Romans 11:11, the first three words, Paul says, "I say then," which gives you a clue that Paul here is making a statement that is it's a conclusion here. Okay, just like in Romans 11, verse 1, where he says, "I say that." He made an argument in Romans 10 that, you know, Israel did not have faith in the Messiah, they rejected the Christ. And in verse 11, chapter 11, 1, he says, "I say that if God casts his people away." Well, he says, no. Romans 11, 1, there's a remnant, he describes. He hasn't cast them away for good, there's a remnant. Romans 11, verse 7 says, "What then? What that? There's a remnant, but what about that? What does that mean that there's a remnant?" Well, that means the rest of Israel is blinded. Remember, we covered that. So there's a remnant. The rest are blinded. Okay. And number three is here, verse 11, where it says, "Have they stumbled, they should fall." The blinding was their stumbling. Remember the stumbling stone of faith in Christ, the cross? They didn't believe Jesus was the Christ. They stumbled at that stumbling stone, and subsequently they fell, just like Psalms said, just like Isaiah 6 said would happen. We started that on Sunday. And so they stumbled and fell at that stumbling stone. And yet here's the third question Paul asks. Have they stumbled, they should fall? Was the purpose of their stumbling that God say, "That's it, I'm done with you"? Okay? And this is really going to be the death knell of preterism, covenant theology, replacement theology. Any teaching, which is the majority out there, that teaches that because Israel crucified their Messiah, God threw them into the trash bin of history. Okay? I'm not dealing with you any longer. They're never going to return. There's no literal land. There's no literal fulfillment of the promises. The church has assumed all of those. Okay? Anybody who teaches that has failed to recognize what Paul's talking about in Romans chapter 11. Okay? Because Paul says, "Have they stumbled that they should fall?" Meaning, have they stumbled for the purpose of their failure, their fall? That's it. There's nothing else going to happen to them. And he says, "God forbid." Okay? God has not given up Israel for good. It's not that salvation can't come to Israel anymore. It's not that Jews can't be saved. Because why? He says in verse 11, "Rather, through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy." Okay, that's why salvation is coming to the Gentiles. That's why through they've stumbled and fallen, and now salvation is among the remnant. Okay, it's because they're going to be provoked to jealousy. Of course, we read about that in Deuteronomy. Now, a lot of times we read this verse, along with verse 13, we'll get to later. A lot of people read this verse and we forget to read the last part. We'll read it like this. Have they stumbled, they should fall. God forbid, rather, through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles. Right? That's not what the verse is saying. Okay? The salvation coming to the Gentiles is just a known fact. Everybody knows that. We've been talking about it since Romans 9. There's people in Luke 7, the Gentile centurion, Matthew 15, the Canaanite woman, in time past, Gentiles who were faithful, who received things that unfaithful Israel do not. Okay, that's what everybody knows. He's not communicating here some new thing. Okay, what he's doing is saying that Israel doesn't get it, some Gentiles do get it, for to provoke Israel to jealousy. And his point is that Israel can still be saved. His point is that we shouldn't discard these Jews and say that, you know, God hates you now. Okay, that's not it. It's that here these Gentiles have faith in Christ. They need to communicate that faith in Christ to Jews, okay, to the people who should have believed it the first time. And so they can be saved. Now, something else we learn from this verse is when it says, rather through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles, provoked them to jealousy, is that Israel is fallen. Right? A lot of people will say, well, the church is Israel today. You know, the church replaces Israel. We are the Israel of God. Well, that's nonsense, because according to Romans 11:11, Israel has fallen. All right. So unless you want to take that position, then it's a problem to say the church is Israel. The church is the church. Israel is Israel. You can't make them the same thing. Okay, they're never the same thing at the same time. And if you think you're Israel, you have a problem here in Romans 11, because Israel in Romans 11 doesn't have salvation yet. Okay, and the church, the body of Christ, Paul teaches us, God teaches us through Paul, that we have salvation now. By grace through faith, what Christ did on the cross, we have salvation. We're complete in Him. We have it now. We're not waiting for it. The only thing we're waiting for is for our bodies to get renewed, right? To go to heavenly places. But we have a present possession of salvation. But Israel does not have it yet. They're waiting for it in the future. And so we've covered that before, and how their hope, their salvation was, and their grace in Romans 11 verse 5 is going to come to them when the kingdom comes, when Israel, when Christ returns to them, right? And so in Romans 11:11, he says, through their fall. Meaning, they fallen. Again, what was their fall? I was keeping this in mind. What was their stumble? What was their fall? Where did they trip up? Christ. Faith in Christ, particularly. Right? They were cruising along here in the Old Testament with the law, and all of a sudden, John the Baptist comes and says, the kingdom's coming. This is a new thing. Right? And Jesus comes and says, I'm the Son of God. That's a new thing. And they didn't receive that message. Okay? And so they stumbled at that, and the majority of Israel, they didn't have faith. And thus, they're going to be cut off here. And they fell at that. Now, not all of Israel fell. Okay, as we've been covering, always keep in mind, it's not the whole nation that fell, right? What do we got here? We got a believing group. We got the disciples at Pentecost. We got people who these Gentiles in Rome are a part of that had faith in Christ when He came, okay? That believed the message. So, do you say they're fallen? Well, how are they fallen? They had faith in Christ. Okay, so here they are, this little remnant, but look, the rest of Israel has fallen. Okay. And obviously, by the time Paul writes Romans, they know the kingdom's not coming here, right? But it says in Romans 11:11, through there Israel's fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy. Now, how is it that through Israel's fall, salvation comes to the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy? How can Gentiles get salvation through the fall of Israel? Now, you know in prophecy, of course, like in Isaiah and Ezekiel, it talks about Israel's rise to power and how by their success and by their dominion, Gentiles will be blessed. We see over here in the kingdom, Israel rises to power and the Gentiles, the nations of the world, get blessed through them, right? Well, if Israel fails to do what they were told to do, then how would Gentiles get blessed, right? How would they get that? Okay, well, remember, when did Israel fall? What was their fall? Their fall was this. Okay, their failure was not that they didn't keep the Ten Commandments. Everybody failed at that. Okay? That wasn't the uniqueness of their fall. Their fall was faith in Christ as the Messiah. Right? And so it was through that, the thing that they fell at, that's how these people can get something that they don't. Because it's not the law, something added to the law here. It's just faith in who that guy was. That means these Gentiles, who before were below Israel in standing, suddenly, there's a reversal that happens where some of these Gentiles get put up in this remnant, and these Israelites fall down here in unbelief. You see the problem? We have unbelieving Israel, they get nothing. And we've got believing Gentiles, and they get something by faith in Jesus as the Messiah. They're going to the kingdom. Even if they're below believing Israel, they're still above unbelieving Israel. Those guys are going to hell. You see the point here, okay? So you have to understand, you have to keep your people straight in what's going on at what time. Jesus came to Israel. Not all of Israel received him, which means they were rejected, but there were some Gentiles that received him. So do they get something that these unbelieving guys don't get? Well, that's exactly what Paul's talking about. And so it's through the fall, the cross here, Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the kingdom message, that Gentiles got part of that, if they believed, if they did what was necessary. Okay? And some of Israel did not. All right? And so what was going on is these Gentiles here who become part of that remnant, they start to provoke these unbelieving Jews, unbelieving Israel. So these guys here, who are the majority of Israel, they're looking at these Gentiles who say, we're going to get the kingdom, we're going in there, and we believe Jesus is the Son of God and the Christ, and they're fighting each other. Okay, see, that's the problem. So we have these guys that are persecuting the disciples in Jerusalem, and in Rome, they're fighting against these Gentiles that are saying, we got the kingdom. Okay, and that's what the ruckus was over there in Rome, which is why Paul's explaining all of this. Okay, how those Gentiles shouldn't be boasting about that. They should be having the same heart Paul has and trying to see these people saved instead of just boasting, ha ha, we got what you didn't get. Right? We're better than you now. God gave you up. That's not what was going on here. Okay? And so in Romans 11:11, salvation is come unto the Gentiles. It's a done deal. Okay, this is another thing to keep in the back of your mind is that some people, the Acts 28 crowd specifically, will say that this did not happen until Acts 28. When Paul goes to Rome, he's there, and he says to the Jews in Rome that I'm going to the Gentiles, and they're going to hear salvation, right? And that's finally when he goes to them. When actually, he'd been going to Gentiles all through the book of Acts in his ministry, okay? Romans 11:11 says salvation is come to the Gentiles. This is a done deal. This is a past event, okay? And so really, we'll see later, this is not something that Paul's talking about his ministry. He's talking about back here. When there were Gentiles given hope and given salvation through this guy, Jesus, the Messiah. Okay, remember that? The centurion comes to him and Jesus says, I haven't found faith like this in Israel. And he heals him. The Canaanite woman says, I haven't found faith like this in Israel. And he gives her a healing. Okay, Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, Peter comes to him. And doesn't he get a tongue talking, a blessing of the Holy Ghost that these unbelieving Israelites don't get? Yeah, you see. And so he's talking about back here, these Gentiles get stuff that Israel did not. And that's what's going on here. This is a past event where it says their fall, the salvation is come. It already has come to the Gentiles. For to provoke them to jealousy. Now, when he talks about provoking them to jealousy and salvation coming to the Gentiles, the salvation going to them, as I just said, is through Israel's fall. It's as part of the remnant group. It's not salvation come to the Gentiles through Paul's ministry. Now, we often quote this verse, and even grace preachers will read this, and they'll say, well, there's a dispensational change going on. Israel's fallen. Salvation goes to the Gentiles, right? And we often preach the dispensational principle there. And it's true. Paul was sent as an apostle to Gentiles. Salvation goes to all men today. And there's a difference between salvation in Israel, John 4:22, and salvation to all men. There's a dispensational change. But in Romans 11, he's not talking about the church. You see, so we can't just, even grace preachers, we can't take a verse out and just use it as a slogan. Okay, we got to know what Paul's talking about here. Okay, and he's talking about the remnant. He's talking about salvation coming to these people, but not to the rest of Israel who are blinded. Okay, and so this provocation, this ministry of provocation that these Gentiles, that the remnant has towards these people, provoking them to jealousy. How is it that unbelieving Israel is jealous over these people? Why would they be jealous over these people? Okay. They have powers. They have healing powers. They have tongue-talking powers. They have been given, according to their belief in the Messiah, a place in the kingdom, whether they be Jews or Gentiles. They got places over there. Read Revelation. It talks about kings of the Gentiles being put in the kingdom as well on earth, an earthly kingdom. And so they're boasting. They're talking about, we've got this position. Matthew 21:43, Jesus says to unbelieving Israel, the Pharisees, the kingdom's taken away from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits thereof, the remnant, right? And so these guys were jealous because what should have been theirs, they're saying, we get, you don't. Okay? Now, think of this through a little bit. If this were the church in Romans 11:11, what does the church get? Do they get an earthly kingdom? Do we get powers to heal and speak in tongues and everything else? Do we get what Israel's promised, a land? No. Why would they be jealous of us? We walk over and say, we're saved by grace through faith. And they go, you're a dirty Gentile. What do you got? Well, not an earthly kingdom. We don't get any land. We don't have, a promised seed. They're going, whoop-de-doo. So you're saved, Okay, I mean, so obviously you can talk about the commonality of forgiveness and how, you know, we get things that Israel's going to get over here, which their salvation and their righteousness and things like that. And yet, there's nothing for us to provoke them with. We can't go to a Jew and say, hey, I got something that you are supposed to get. Right? Because I don't. I can't claim earthly promises. These people did. Okay? The Gentiles of Rome who say, hey, look, I spoke in tongues. I got the Holy Ghost. You know, they could provoke unbelieving Israel. I got poured out the Spirit, like Proverbs and Isaiah says. You know, and they would get jealous over that. Okay? And so, the fact that those Gentiles, the remnant, were partaking in that spirit of promise was a provocation. And so that's the focus there. The church today does not provoke Israel. We do not have what they were promised, so we couldn't provoke Israel. We can minister to Jews, to Gentiles, to all men, salvation by grace through faith. Okay, but a lot of times they just laugh at you and think you're foolish for it. Remember 1 Corinthians 1, the gospel is then that perish foolishness. Right? To the Jews is a stumbling block. It's not a provocation. And yet these folks who had earthly promises given to them, it would be a provocation. Okay, the people provoking Israel then, the people who are, who when Israel falls and salvation goes to, he says Gentiles, but you know the disciples get it too. Right? That's all apostles going to the kingdom. And he says, for the purpose to provoke Israel, unbelieving Israel, to jealousy. Okay, the people provoking Israel are the ones that replace them, that supplant them in the remnant. All right, that would not be the church. The church does not supplant unbelieving Israel in the remnant of Israel. Okay, who does supplant unbelieving Israel in the remnant of Israel? These guys right here. Okay, the 12 disciples, they were already in Israel. They were supposed to get the promises anyway. They just continued on in God's purpose. Jesus came, they believed, they had faith, and they kept going. But these Gentiles, they weren't in God's purpose. They weren't given the promises. And yet, they believed when these guys didn't. Okay? And so they supplant, replace unbelieving Israel going into this kingdom here. The remnant. All right? That's the provocation. And so that's who that's going to be. That'll help us with the olive tree next week, by the way. People ask, who's that grafted in branch? Well, that tree's going to be part of Israel there. You know, it can't be you. Okay, and so in verse, let's move on to verse 12 then. If the fall of them, who's the them? Israel, be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them, Israel, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Now, we're going to talk about the Gentiles here in a moment, and what the diminishing and the riches are, but just as an overview, what is this verse saying? What is Paul trying to communicate to these people in Rome? If Israel's fall brings some good things, right? If Israel's fall, and there's still salvation, even though they fell, all right, there's still salvation being an opportunity there, then what does it mean if they come to fruition? If all the promises and the purpose that God had for them, if it comes to their fullness, okay? The opposite of being full is what? Partially being, you know, not all the way there. And so you've got the whole nation of Israel here, right? And that's the whole nation, the fullness of Israel. And if you just got a slice of the pie, that's part of it, you see. And what we've been talking about in Romans 9 through 11? Not all of Israel gets it, right? Just a part of it. A remnant. Okay? But that was never the purpose. The promise of God was that there'd be a city and a kingdom, a nation, a priest, saved Israel. The whole nation would be blessing to the world. Not just part of it. Right? The whole thing. And so Paul says here, if it's true that the fall of the majority of Israel, the rest of that pie, the blindness of them, still brings some goodness here, then what about their fullness? Remember, these Gentiles are boasting against them. They're saying, God's kicking you guys out, when he wasn't. Okay, what about their fullness? Now, it's another interesting question when you think about your position in Christ, okay? Are you complete in Christ or not? We are. Do we have all spiritual blessings or not? We do, okay? Are you sure and certain your position in heavenly places in Christ? Yeah, Ephesians 2, verse 6, 7, we are, okay? We have that. So what is it exactly we're missing? We're waiting for, you know, for death. We're waiting for eternity. We're waiting for the new bodies we're going to get, right? But you have everything that God has purchased for us right now. And yet Paul is saying to these people, his audience, which include Gentiles and the remnant, okay, he's saying to them, hey, you don't have it all yet. And imagine if Israel fulfilled their purpose, they would be much more. You see what he says? He says, much more their fullness. Now, if I told you, you guys shouldn't boast about who you are in Christ by grace through faith because Israel will have much more. Now, you should laugh at me because we have by grace all spiritual blessings. Now, we don't have earthly kingdoms and things like that, but that's not what we need. We learn 2 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 4 that things eternal are what matter. So we're taught a lesson about things, about earthly things and temporal things that are is different than what Israel program teaches. Okay? So this is talking about the fullness of Israel. When they get their kingdom, when the prophecies get fulfilled, how much more Israel's fullness is what it says. So if the fall of them brings some riches to Gentiles, if the diminishing of them brings some riches to the world, okay, how much their fullness? You see what he's doing? He's taking these people, boasting in their position, and saying, you know what? That's nothing compared to what Israel's going to be. Okay? So stop boasting against those people. Stop boasting against Israel that God's given them up, and he's not going to give them salvation. He's going to. Okay? Today, any theology that teaches, again, preterism, replacement theology, covenant theology, that teaches the church replaces Israel, this is the death knell verse for them. Okay? Because it says, what you have now is nothing to compare to what Israel will have. And that should throw their mind into a tizzy, because they think they are Israel, you know, and that's kind of funny. And at the same time, you know, what does it mean? What we have now isn't enough. Because you read Paul, and Paul tells you, the church, the body of Christ, you've got everything you need. Right? His grace is more than sufficient. And remember back in Romans chapter 5, we had a lesson titled, Much More. And Paul mentions five times in Romans chapter 5, the things you have that are much more in Christ. Much more than. We're saved from the wrath to come. Much more than. We're more than conquerors. Much more we have by grace, according to the mystery. Right? But he's not talking about the revelation of the mystery. He's talking about the remnant. And how Israel had much more compared to them. Okay, in their fullness. And the prophecies fulfilled. So we really need to get the context here. This is why I spent so much time in the lessons previous emphasizing that Paul's talking about the remnant and not about the church. Because it's really going to cause you problems if you think the church belongs here. It's going to diminish your position in Christ. It's going to rob you of the riches you have in Christ by grace if you think that you're part of this remnant here. Okay, because the remnant doesn't yet have the salvation. They don't yet have what Israel has in their fullness. And that's a problem. Rather, the mystery teaches you have now what Israel has to wait to get. And you have much more, according to grace, according to the mystery. Okay, and so there is a difference there between the church and the remnant in Romans 11, verse 12. Now let's cover here just briefly, what are these riches of the world and the diminishing of Israel and the riches of the Gentiles? What is this stuff? If the fall of Israel be the riches of the world. Okay, so what is the fall? What is when did they fall? Well, they stumbled at the cross there. All right, they fell down, tripped over that cross. And Psalms, remember when Jesus was messianic psalm there, when he said that they crucified me to give me vinegar and gall, and they're going to fall over me. Right? He's the stone they fall over. And so it says, the fall of Israel be the riches of the world. Okay. Now, because, look at James 2 verse 5. They stumbled at faith in Christ, and that is supposed to bring riches to the world, according to Romans 11, verse 12. And James, who was one of the 12 disciples, James, who is a part of the remnant. So he's part of the people Paul's talking about, the remnant. Only Paul's talking the Gentile part of it. And James here, in James 2, verse 5. Look what he says here. James 2, 4. Are you not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? Well, we've been talking about the remnant. Who gets the kingdom? Those who have faith in Christ, right? James says, to those that love him, those who know Christ, they are inheritance of the kingdom, and they're rich in faith. You see that? And so the fall of Israel, which was the cross, becomes the riches of these people because they have faith in it. They get the kingdom. That's what Paul's talking about. The fall of Israel becomes the riches of the world. Now, not just Israel, but the world. Gentiles, right? How do they get that? By faith. James 2, verse 5. He says, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? So part of the riches to the world there is the fact that here's the Messiah, and they know him. Okay? There were people in Jesus' earthly ministry, Gentiles, who came up to him and called him Lord. And said, you're the one. Okay? They knew who he was, and yet they weren't Israel. And that was a shame to Israel, of course. Remember the wise men we talked about on Sunday? The wise men traveled from the east. They're not Jews. They come over and they say, that's the Son of God right there. We saw a star. Right? They knew who he was. And so they get to experience the riches of faith in Christ here, whereas unbelieving Israel did not. Through their fall becomes the riches of the world. So you can read it that way. By the way, James 2 verse 5 is not you. you don't inherit the kingdom like James does. James 2 mentions faith and works that are needed. Faith without works is dead, right? Which was true in the remnant. Faith without works is dead. What Paul's emphasizing is the converse of that, is that if you have works and no faith, that's even worse than dead. I mean, you're just out, you see. So their faith required that they do works, but faith was definitely required. And so Romans 11:12, the fall of Israel, which is their lack of faith, becomes the riches of the world, which is by faith. He says the diminishing of them, the riches of the Gentiles. So the fall of Israel becomes the riches of the world. Who was left after the fall? Israel fell. Who was left after it? Remnant of Israel, some Gentiles, right? Made up of Jews and Gentiles. Okay, any believing person who was in God's purpose, whether it be Jew or Gentile, were part of what was left after Israel's fall in God's plan, God's purpose. Okay. Romans 11, verse 12 then says, the diminishing of Israel is the riches of the Gentiles. Now, the diminishing has to do with their shrinking, right? So whereas when John the Baptist came, there's the nation of Israel. After Jesus and John the Baptist and the 12 apostles get done with them, who's really left as part of Israel? Which part of Israel is the believing part, the ones who get the kingdom? A smaller portion. Diminishing. Okay, you see that they're diminishing. And so I have a line here that draws down the diminishing. It was Israel this much, and then suddenly they stumbled and fall, and you only have a little bit left. So here come these Gentiles, and they're in Rome, and they get something that Israel doesn't. They go, there's hardly anybody in Israel that believes at all. Right? They're diminished. They're gone. They're done for. Right? And Paul's trying to encourage them that you shouldn't boast that way. God will keep his promise to them. But meanwhile, they have been diminished. It's a result of their blinding. Not all of Israel is Israel. Romans 9:29, Paul quotes a prophecy and says that if God left them a small seed, left them a seed, if he hadn't left them that seed, that small remnant, then they would have been like Sodom and Gomorrah. They'd have been wiped down entirely. But the prophecy says they're not wiped out entirely. There's a small seed. And so they're diminished from an entire nation where God promised to Abraham, I'll multiply your seed. Suddenly, they shrink down to a small group, 120 at Pentecost. They added a few thousand after that, but still, not a lot. Right, so they diminished their numbers. Later, wasn't their city destroyed? By who? Gentiles, right? So not only were they diminished in numbers spiritually, but the whole nation was destroyed, right? And so they were being held captive and diminished. If you read through prophecy, look at Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28. This is not something new. This is not the mystery of Christ. Now, I know that Colossians 1:27 says that the mystery among the Gentiles that Paul preaches is Christ in you. The riches of the glory of this mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There are riches you have, but Paul calls those riches that you have in Christ unsearchable. Ephesians 3, verse 6, the unsearchable riches of Christ that you have. That's why it's a mystery. Okay? But there are riches that Israel gives that are searchable in the Scriptures. There are riches that the Gentiles get that are searchable in the Scriptures according to prophecy. Always remember, God's purpose for the earth was to bless everybody, Gentiles, through Israel. So you can read about the riches for both people. Okay? And what Paul's saying here is that Gentiles get riches even when Israel fails. Back in Deuteronomy 28, it was a part of the law. Okay, the law said that when Israel broke the law, their enemies, the other nations, would come and eat what they grew. Right? Sounds to me like that's a benefit. Okay, benefit to the nations. Right? Deuteronomy 28, verse 30 says, thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. That's a problem. That's a sin. Thou shalt build a house, and shalt not dwell therein. Well, that's an economic issue. I built this house, but you know what? Your mortgage fails, you got it foreclosed, and all of a sudden someone else sitting in it, right? Who's that going to be? Well, it's not a Jew. Thou shalt plant a vineyard and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Okay? And so you grow some grapes, you get some income, gets taxed to death, and someone else reaps the rewards. Verse 31, the ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. The ass shall violently take away from before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies. Thou shalt have none to rescue them. Thy sons and daughters shall be given to another people. Thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long. Verse 33, the fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not, that would be a Gentile nation, they're going to eat it up, it says. Thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed alway. Okay? And so we have here, because of Israel's breaking the law, when they fail to break the law, when they fail to do what God said to do, what we get under the law program is that other nations get the benefit. That doesn't mean that other nations are righteous. I'm just saying the law says that there's a trade there. If Israel's not above the nations, they're below the nations. That's what the law taught. Okay. So we have in Daniel, most of Israel's history, even in Jesus' earthly ministry, they were captive to the Romans, right? Remember the Israelites? They were held captive by the Assyrians, Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonians, then the Persians and the Greeks, right? Well, who had the riches of the world then? Gentiles, right? So through Israel's fall, taken into captivity, Gentiles reap the rewards. Through Israel's fall in Jesus' earthly ministry, who gets the rewards here? Gentiles spiritually, right? And so anyway, you cut it. You got Israel's fall giving riches to the world, right? When actually the world is not your sphere of dominion. Remember, you've got a heavenly orientation, right? You're not even looking for worldly riches. And yet, where do those riches go in the world when Israel falls? Gentiles, right? Why do they go to Gentiles? Do they go to the Gentiles so that God, because God hates Israel? And he's going to forget their promises to them? Or do they go to Gentiles so that Israel would repent? So that Israel would say, hey, we need our position. And they would do what God says. That's what Paul's saying here. For to provoke them to jealousy. Right? The proper response after Israel's enemies, the Gentiles, start eating their crops, is to say, we're sorry, Lord. Repent. Sacrifice. Forgive us. Give us mercy. And God would make their plants grow. He would help them conquer their enemies. And they would be a nation above the nations. Right? But if they didn't do that, they would fail. They would fall. Okay? It's the same thing in Jesus' earthly ministry. This is not a new trade-off here. Okay? And so Paul's just pointing out, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, the diminishing of them, the shrinking of them, the conquering of them by the other nations be the riches of the Gentiles, then how much more their fullness? How much more will God's glory be manifested, not through some Gentile nations who were never given the promises in the first place, but through God's chosen people who are given the land, the seed, and the blessing? Right? God is working through them. You see, that it's glorious. That kingdom's going to be glorious. So these Gentiles in Rome shouldn't be boasting. These Gentiles, these Cornelius, the Italian people over here, should not be boasting against these Israelites that fell. Because God's going to work his purpose through Israel. And even in the kingdom, those Gentiles are going to be there, are going to be below them. You see. In fact, let's look at Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61 describes the fullness of Israel. There's plenty of passages in the Old Testament. Just read through the law, the promises, the prophets. Every time they condemn Israel, they always give them hope about what God's going to do for them in the future, according to his promise. Now, Isaiah 61, the last 5 or 10 chapters here, really describe this in detail. But Isaiah 61, verse 4. Isaiah 61, verse 4. It says, they shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations. By the way, why are the places in Israel waste and desolate? Because they broke the law, they stumbled and fell, and God poured out his punishment on them, right? So that's why they're waste and desolate. And they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations, and strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. And the sons of the alien, who's that? It's E.T., right? The Gentiles shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. Your servants will be Gentiles. Verse 6, but ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Now, who's higher in the spiritual hierarchy here in the Bible? Priests or the servants? We have the priests. Ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles. You see that? It cannot be you, the church, the body of Christ, Romans 11, verse 12. If it is, what prophecy teaches is that suddenly your riches get eaten up by someone else. Okay, that's what Paul says in Colossians 2, is people robbing you of the riches you have in Christ. Don't let that happen. Don't put yourself in Romans 11, verse 12. Okay, you'll be robbing yourself of the riches you have in Christ. But he's not talking about you. He's talking about Gentiles who are going to get into that kingdom through the remnant by faith in Christ. Okay, and he says that, yeah, you get riches right now over these guys, but when the kingdom comes, Israel's above you. And they're going to be eating your riches. Now, that's not a condemnation of the Gentiles, by the way. They get blessed by that and all this business. But, you know, that was Israel's promise. That was their position. Remember, they get the tithes from all the nations. Okay? And so it says in Isaiah 61, verse 6, that ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and their glory shall you boast yourselves. And so for your same you shall have double, and so on and so forth. That is not true for the church, the body of Christ. That is a lowering of your position right now. To say that you're going to have an earthly position below the Israelites where they're going to eat your riches diminishes the riches of you having God's grace in the body of Christ. Okay, there's two separate things going on. God's purpose for the earth, Israel, the nations, and God's purpose for heaven through the church, the body of Christ, made up of both Jews and Gentiles, saved by the dispensation of the grace of God. Okay. Israel today has no standing. The Israel on the map today, during this dispensation, is not the Israel of the Bible. Okay, they've rejected the Messiah. If anything, they're part of the unbelieving Israel. Okay, but they're not fulfilling the promises of God. And if any Jew today would like to be saved, they can. We're not anti-Semites. It's not that God hates Israel because they nailed Jesus to the cross. Salvation is offered to them, Paul says. Okay. And it's offered to them today through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, their belief in his resurrection, the gospel of Christ. Okay, that's how they get saved. They get saved, they get part of the body of Christ, they go up to heavenly places, fulfill God's will up there. Okay, that's how Jew and Gentiles today get a standing with God. And so, Romans 11 verse 12 then, when Paul says that the fullness of Israel is much more than what these Gentiles have according to their riches at that time. And that tells us something according to prophecy. That's an earthly purpose statement. That's God's purpose for the earth. Okay? He has something different. According to prophecy in Isaiah 2:2, Israel's blessed over these Gentiles. In Isaiah 2:2, there's a nation, a city on a hill, and all the nations flow unto it. Right? Zechariah 8, there's Gentiles, the kings of the nations. They grab the skirt of a Jew and say, take us to God. Right? They have a privilege in the kingdom, in their fullness, that Gentiles do not have. All right? You're not going to be there. You're not on the earth. That's not your destiny. And so this is really a problem. What do you do with this if you think that the church has replaced Israel? Suddenly, this grafted in branch of people make the church, suddenly they're going to be giving all their riches to a nation. Okay? And that's a problem. Look at Romans 11 verse 13. Let's move on through the chapter here. Romans 11 verse 13. Now, Paul's asked a couple questions. Have they stumbled? They should fall. God forbid. Okay, the salvation to the Gentiles of the remnant is provoked the rest to jealousy so they can be saved. Verse 12, if the fall of Israel be the riches of the world, how much more their fullness? Israel's going to be saved. That's what he's saying. Okay, Romans 11:26, he says, all Israel shall be saved. That's his point. Salvation comes to Israel in the end. Verse 13, he says, I speak to you Gentiles. Inasmuch as I'm the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. Now, this is another one of those verses that we're really guilty, those who rightly divide. We really want to take this verse, put it on a banner, and show people, hey, Paul is the apostle of Gentiles. You know why? Because there's 12 apostles, and we know there's 12 because there's 12 tribes of Israel. And so the contrast is, well, there's one apostle, one body of Christ, he's the apostle of Gentiles. Rightfully so. Paul's the apostle of Gentiles. You're a Gentile, and so he's the apostle over you. Okay? Paul was sent to Gentiles in Acts 9:15. Christ said, go to the nations, go to Israel, go to the kings of the earth, right? So they sent him to the Gentiles. And yet why, ask yourself, why is Paul saying this? Shouldn't they already know this? Why didn't he write this to the Ephesians? Ephesians, I'm the apostle of Gentiles. Didn't they already know that? Why didn't he say to the Corinthians, who Paul calls his children in the faith? Didn't they already know that? They already knew that he came and preached them the gospel. He says, I saved you in 1 Corinthians 1. Paul got them the gospel. Right? He's their father, spiritually. Romans 11:13, to these people, he says, I speak to you as Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. Doesn't that sound like me saying, I'm going to arrest you inasmuch as I'm the police officer of our county? Right? Otherwise, I mean, maybe you didn't know that, right? So here's these Gentiles. Why wouldn't they know Paul? Didn't they hear the gospel from Paul? Where else would they hear it? Now, I'm being facetious here. The point is they didn't hear the gospel from Paul. Okay, they knew Christ before Paul. All right? They had, well, who can have faith in Christ before Paul? These people, the remnant, right? They could believe in Christ before Paul. And they go to Rome, and Paul writes to these Gentiles saying, hey, I'm the apostle of the Gentiles, so I have a right to talk to you Gentiles about not boasting against those Israelites. Okay? We're going to hear it in a moment. Meanwhile, we really need to be careful about taking this verse and proof-texting it. We talked Sunday about not proof-texting, and there's a good preaching from this verse if you want to take it out of context. I can say, don't you know that Paul was sent to the Gentiles, an apostle of the Gentiles? We should magnify his office. Paul says, I magnify mine office. We don't worship the man. It's his position that Christ gave him. And the church today, if they would only magnify Paul's office a little bit more, respect his apostleship, then they would understand the Bible rightly divided. And this is preaching based on Romans 11:13. Is it right preaching? Yeah. Is it good preaching? Yeah. Am I taking the verse out of context? Yes. Okay. Is Paul the apostle of the Gentiles? Yes. Should his office be magnified? Yeah, we should proclaim it. Okay, that Paul was an apostle in the revelation ministry of Christ. And yet, Paul's not saying it here for us to do that. Okay, there's a reason why he has to tell these people that I'm the apostle of the Gentiles. And that's because they didn't hear about Christ first through him. Remember in Romans 1, Paul has to defend his own apostleship when he says, I'm an apostle and servant of Jesus Christ. And he explains the gospel he preaches. And he's never been to Rome. Okay, he never had a ministry in Rome up until Acts 28 when he got there. He wrote this epistle before he got there. Peter never went to Rome. Okay, where did they hear about Christ? Okay, and this is what we need to deal with. Now look at Romans 15, verse 8. Romans 15, verse 8. Paul later says, Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made to the fathers. So Jesus Christ ministered to Israel, he came to his own, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers about Israel. What were those promises? Their fullness. That through them all the nations of the world would be blessed. So he never left the nation of Israel, the land of Israel, in his earthly ministry. Okay, he came to Israel, ministered to them about the gospel of circumcision, the gospel of the kingdom. And yet, we've already mentioned a few times, many people bring this up to you when you talk about Jesus going to circumcision, is that there were Gentiles in his earthly ministry that got a blessing from him, got a healing from him. What was that all about? And they'll kind of argue with you and say, well, if Jesus went to circumcision, what about these Gentiles? Well, number one, the Gentiles came to him. He didn't go to them. Number two, he ignored them, quite frankly. They had to prove themselves worthy of his blessing because, don't you know, Jesus said, the children first must be fed, then the dogs. Right? Those Gentiles. So there's an order here. Israel first. Gentiles below. Okay? And yet there were Gentiles who got blessed by Jesus himself in his earthly ministry. Okay? Every word in the Bible has a purpose, folks. We don't ignore verses. I know in other churches, they pick the verses they like that fit their agenda. They ignore the rest. We can't do that. If we do that, you will fail in your understanding. Every verse in the Bible has a purpose. Those places where Gentiles get a blessing from Jesus have a purpose. Romans 11 right here. Okay? We can't just see the word Gentile, and every time there's a Gentile, we think it's the church. It's going to cause us problems. And so, Gentiles get blessed through Israel in time past. They got blessed by Jesus himself. Romans 15, verse 16, in contrast to Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry, being a minister of the circumcision, Romans 15, 16, Paul says, I am the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable. So Paul, when he was saved on the road to Damascus, Christ sent him to Gentiles. Christ had never sent an apostle to Gentiles directly with the word of God. Okay, never done that. Now, Gentiles will be blessed through Israel, of course, you know, and they can come to Israel and get blessed and that sort of thing. But God never said, hey, you need to go to them and give them a word that you shouldn't give to Israel, you know, that they've missed. Gentiles didn't have that privilege. Okay, that's just not how it was. So Paul went to Gentiles and taught them directly by the special commission given by the Lord. Okay, so we know that it's true that Paul was the apostle of the Gentiles. His office was unique and different and special. And yet, I'm trying to get in our mind here, in Romans 11, 13, the reason why he says this to his audience in Romans 11 is because they needed the reminder. They didn't know. Okay, he had to magnify his office. Because otherwise, here's just another guy, another brother Jew, telling us what to do. When he says, no, I'm giving an apostleship of the Lord, and it's over Gentiles, and you guys are boasting out of your place. Okay, that's what's going on there. And so, these are not Gentiles in Paul's ministry. They're boasters who already knew Christ. They're people who knew Christ from before Paul even got saved. Isn't it in Romans 16:7 that people really make a to-do about Paul mentioning people in Rome who are in Christ before him? There's Andronicus and Junia, and he says, who are in Christ before me? Right? Well, that's not a shock to me, realizing that Paul's writing to a place he's never personally ministered, Rome. And there are people there who know about Christ. Well, how'd they hear about it? Well, there are people preaching Christ before Paul. Christ himself was preaching Christ. The apostles were preaching Christ. Okay? Peter went to a Gentile in Acts 10. And let's look at Acts 10 real quick. We won't have time all night to go through the whole chapter. I wish we could. But look at Acts 10, verse 1. Cornelius, who is a Gentile, he's a centurion. And if you read Acts 10, verse 1, where is this guy from? There was a certain man in Caesarea He was on a mission in Caesarea. He was on duty in Caesarea. Called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. He's from Rome. He and his house is from Rome. Read down through the chapter. He and his house get saved. So there's a lot of people here, not just one guy. There's Gentiles here who get saved from Italy. Right? Maybe they went back to Italy. Maybe some of them went back to Italy and started boasting. Hey, I know Christ. You went to the synagogue. I know Christ. You guys don't. You know, I know the Messiah that you guys don't know. I got a kingdom promise you guys don't have. Right? Boasting over there. And Paul's got a right to, hey, settle these guys down a little bit. And what right does Paul have to speak to these people? These are people Peter talked to. People Jesus talked to in his earthly ministry. Because Paul says, I'm the apostle of the Gentiles. Okay, if anybody will know how to respond to Israel when Israel falls, it would be the minister who goes to Gentiles when Israel's fallen about God's grace, preaching God's grace. Okay? So he's telling them, hey, look, God has not forgotten his promises. He's going to give it to Israel. And he's telling them dispensationally what happened and telling them not to boast against those branches that fell off. Okay? So these are not Gentiles of Paul's ministry. They can't be. These people knew Christ before Paul. Gentiles, just to keep in our minds once again, Gentiles get salvation before Paul. Gentile blessing, and this is something we really need to be more nuanced in our thinking, I think, is that salvation of Gentiles is not a mystery. All right. You look at our chart up here. Where can Gentiles get saved? Right. Well, they can get saved here. They can get saved here. And they can get saved here. They can get saved anywhere. God always had provision for salvation of anybody. The question is, how? The question is, through what means? Right? There was always salvation. But how were Gentiles to be blessed back here in time past? They had to go to Israel and bless them. The centurion in Luke 7 built Israel's synagogue, and he got a blessing for it. Right? So there were rules. How do Gentiles get blessed here? How do they get saved here today? Put your faith in Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. Right? There's no law, no circumcision, no special nation. There's no tithing. You get all blessings in Christ. Christ alone. Faith alone. Do Gentiles get saved in the kingdom? Sure do. Okay, look at Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21. Now, Revelation does not contain instructions or the destiny of the church at all. It talks about the fulfillment, the fullness of Israel. Fulfillment of the promises given to Israel. In Revelation 21, it's talking about that new city, the Jerusalem, that comes down to the earth, the Israel of God here. And it's got the foundation with 12 tribes and the gates with 12 apostles. And so it's all about Israel, 12 all over it. 12 stones, 12 pearls, 12 angels, everything else. And their people in it are going to be God's people, Israel. In Revelation 21, 24... Look this, it says, the nations of them, the nations, now that's the Gentiles. The Gentiles, the nations of them which are saved, shall walk in the light of this kingdom, this is the city. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor to it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. The nations, the Gentiles, have a place on the earth in Israel's fulfillment. In their earthly kingdom, the Gentiles also have an earthly hope. Okay, not every Gentile in history is you. Now, the Gentiles the last 2,000 years in the body of Christ, we don't have an earthly hope. That's not what we preach. God's creating a new creature today that's going to spend eternity in heavenly places. But there was a time when God wasn't building that new creature, and Gentiles there are over here in the kingdom. Okay, that's according to God's purpose and God's will. So it's left to us to determine what God's will is, to study the Bible, to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing the word of truth, so we know God's will at any given time. Okay? So this is what Paul's talking about here. Are these Gentiles he's addressing are Gentiles that were already in Rome, Gentiles that were already knew Christ. When Paul said in Romans 10 about Israel, how they fell and stumbled because they didn't confess Christ and they didn't believe the resurrection, like at Pentecost when Peter preached that. Well, who did? The remnant of Israel. Some Gentiles. Right? Cornelius. When Peter went to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, he says Jesus Christ did many miracles in Israel. And he didn't go to all Israel, but there was some Israel that believed him, and he showed it to us, his witnesses, how he is the Messiah, the Son of God. And by belief in his name, we get forgiveness of sins and, you know, the kingdom and everything else. And Cornelius believed him, and the Holy Ghost filled him, and he spoke in tongues. Peter water baptized him. Okay? So there are people getting into the remnant here, Gentiles, who are going to have an inheritance over here in this kingdom. Revelation 21 shows that those people. You see the same thing in Deuteronomy 26:19. Where Israel's above the nations, but the nations are still there. All right? That doesn't mean they're slaves. It just means Israel is where the throne room's at. That's where the headquarters, that's where God's going to be. Okay? The nations of the world are going to bring their blessings to him there in Israel. All right? So there were Gentiles that were a part of the earthly purpose for Israel. And when Paul talks about the riches of the world here, he talks about his purpose for the earth. These Gentiles were looking for that. That's why they were boasting against God's earthly people. All right? So that's what's going on here. And so in Romans 11:13, notice at the end of the sentence here. Romans 11:13. On Sunday we talked about taking the Bible literally, and that's what we're doing here. And we're not trying to spiritualize or create some fanciful message from it. We're trying to see what Paul said to whom he said it. And at the end of this verse, we're going to take something grammatically significant here, which is the colon. A colon is not the end of a sentence. Okay, the colon means that what comes after is going to further explain what was just said. So people say, what's Romans 11:13 talking about? Well, read verse 14, and you'll know why he said it. Okay? Romans 11:13, Paul says, I'm an apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office. Why does Paul have to do that? Right? Well, verse 14. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, though that would be Israelites, and might save some of them, Israelites. Right? So Paul's trying to see Israel saved. Okay? He's trying to see his kinsmen in the flesh get salvation. Paul goes to synagogues. People ask, why does Paul go to synagogues in the book of Acts? Because he wants to see them saved. They stumbled and fell. He's trying to get the gospel to them. And you know who's boasting against them? These Gentiles are part of the remnant. Right? That's hindering his message, you see. Just like those false brethren in Jerusalem were going out preaching circumcision to everybody. And Paul goes, you're hindering my message here. Okay? So here's these Gentiles in Rome starting a fight with the Jews there. And he's going, you're hindering the message. We're not against them. We're trying to see them saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19, Paul says, he became all things to all men so that he might save some. Right? I be free from all men, I'd be free from even the law of Israel. He says, have I made myself a servant unto all? Paul did not break the law. Okay, he said that in Acts 28. He appears to the Jews in Rome. He said, I didn't break the law. I'm blameless. Right? But you know what? He didn't have to be under the law. He taught Gentiles they're not under the law. Right? And yet Paul took his liberty and said, I'm going to be a servant to my kinsmen. If they see me breaking the law, they're going to call me a heretic. And so he made sure he was blameless. Because you can do that with your liberty, knowing that it's nothing in the world. And he did that. And in verse 19, he made himself a servant so that he might gain the more, so that he can gain a hearing among Israel and preach to them the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died for their sins and resurrected for their salvation. They wouldn't have any of that, though. They stumbled over this. Right? They fell over it. Verse 20, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them under the law. And verse 22, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Paul is trying to get salvation to Israel. He said that three times already in Romans 9 through 11. I want to see my kinsmen saved. And here are these Gentiles boasting, causing problems, and Paul's just trying to shut them up. Right? So, hey, look, we need to get these people saved. There's a reason for you to boast. I know you have faith in Christ. I know you got something they didn't. You know what? We should get them saved. Because they can be. God has not condemned them forever. Okay? Salvation in this dispensation is going to all men. But, God has not poured out his wrath yet. They have not died yet. Okay? Now, the guys he was talking about are all dead and gone now. But they hadn't at the time. Okay? And so they could still be saved. They could still put faith in Christ. At that time, when Paul was talking about in the Acts period, okay, they could hear Paul's gospel and get into the church. They can hear Peter's gospel and get into the remnant. Right. Either way, they had an opportunity to get salvation. And these Gentiles were keeping that from them. And that was their error. Okay, that was their problem. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and Galatians chapter 2. Remember in Galatians chapter 2, which is in Acts chapter 15, which would be the reference there, Galatians chapter 2, verse 9. When Paul goes up to Jerusalem, because there were false brethren there, teaching circumcision for salvation. Remember that? This was causing a problem in Paul's ministry, because he preaches grace, not works. And he preaches you're not under the law. Romans chapter 5. Grace abounds in this dispensation. And so they were really hindering his ministry, that he's been given of the Lord. So Galatians 2, verse 9, he went to James, who wrote the book of James, Cephas, who wrote the first two epistles of Peter, and John, who wrote Revelation, maybe Hebrews, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. and who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me. They gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go into the heathen and they into the circumcision. That verse is significant because what Peter, James, and John did was diminish their ministry. They said, we're no longer going to go to all the nations, like Matthew 28 said, because Jerusalem hasn't even received Christ yet. Right? And obviously Christ has given you something else, something we don't know about. Right? So you do what Christ told you, and we'll stay here among the circumcision, those who do believe, the remnant. Right? We'll stay here. All right? And so Paul says, I'll go to the heathen. Right? And then he goes out, and he starts preaching, and he goes to synagogues to unbelieving Israel, who are counted to be heathen now, since they're even below the remnant. Right? He goes and preaches to these people, trying to get some saved into the church. He's taking the what's left over there. And he also talks to the Romans. Look at 2 Peter 3. Those in Rome who are in Christ before him, to explain to them what happened, what his apostleship is, why Israel fell, and how they need to respond to Israel. And Peter says in 2 Peter 3:15, to the remnant of Israel, the same people Paul's writing to in Romans 9 through 11, and says that we should account the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. And so Paul wrote to the remnant, which is who Peter is writing to in 2 Peter 3, about the long suffering of God being salvation. Okay? Now, what does that mean? We have Jesus saying the kingdom's coming. We have Peter saying the kingdom is coming. Peter says, these are the last days right here. And what happens? It doesn't come. The wrath doesn't come. The kingdom doesn't come. And Paul, explaining what happened back here, says, well, God's still provoking Israel to jealousy. He's providing salvation to everybody. Okay? You shouldn't be boasting against the rest. Like they're destined to be cursed. Okay? Salvation to everybody. Peter says the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation. So he writes to the remnant and says, look, those people who don't believe, get them saved. Right? That's the law. Every day is an opportunity, Peter says. Just like Paul writes. Just because they've rejected you doesn't mean you don't have an opportunity, a duty, an obligation to minister to them. And Peter writes that knowing that Paul said the same thing in Romans 11. Israel can be saved, is what Paul's saying. Israel will be saved according to the promise. All right. So look at Romans 11, verse 15. Paul says, if by any means I may provoke to emulation, that they may look at these Gentiles and say, we want to be like them, we want to be in the kingdom. It takes a lot of humility, by the way. Not many did that. Verse 15, if the casting away of Israel, of them, be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? If the casting away of Israel, how were they cast away? By their unbelief, right? How shall they be received? He says, if the receiving of them be. How are they ever going to be received at all if they believe? They put their faith in Christ as the Messiah. Okay, they'll inherit that kingdom. And so he says, if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, that means Gentiles can get in, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Okay, which is something very different than you have. Okay, you today cannot raise the dead. You today cannot heal the sick. You don't have these powers. God's not bringing his kingdom. And yet the receiving of Israel, the fullness of Israel, what they're going to be in the kingdom is life from the dead. Okay, that means resurrection. Read about the resurrection that God promises to Israel and the prophets, that he promises in his earthly ministry. Read Revelation 20. At the end of the tribulation, when the kingdom comes, what happens? A resurrection. John 5, Jesus taught there'll be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. Some resurrected to righteousness, some resurrected to damnation. Resurrection is going to happen in the end. Right? When Israel's established. So Paul says the receiving of Israel on the earth is resurrection. That's the end. Everybody's food. They're up. Time for the judgment. Time for eternity. Right? Life from the dead. That's not going on in Romans 11. They're still living in a sin-cursed world. It's not going on today. They're living in a sin-cursed world. Okay? But the receiving of Israel, the salvation of Israel, will be life from the dead. Not only that, but you can also think about Ezekiel 37 and how God had a strange prophecy back there in Ezekiel 37. That the nation of dry bones, Israel, would be resurrected and resuscitated and put on sinews and flesh back there in Ezekiel 37. And the nation itself would be resurrected. Okay? So you talk about the casting away of them being the riches of these Gentiles, the reconciliation of the world, right? But the receiving of them life from the dead, resurrection, power on earth, God's intervention, things change, the restoration of the whole planet. Okay, that's much more than what we've ever seen on this earth. Okay? Now, you have unsearchable riches. You have reconciliation with God today, and it's by the grace of God according to the mystery of Christ. Right? But they're going to be much more. They're going to have something on the earth that these Gentiles back here could never have. They don't have access to. Okay? By the way, this here, when it talks about in verse 15, the receiving of them be life from the dead, if this were the church, it wouldn't matter. If it were the church talking about Israel's having faith in receiving, being received by God, right? What happens when a Jew gets saved today? Okay, if a Jew gets saved today, gets put into the church, the body of Christ, does he get something different than you get?
No.
There's no difference. Okay? So what's the comparison Paul's trying to make here? He's making it to these people, saying, look, back here was a bonus for you Gentiles. But it's nothing compared to the bonus they're going to get in the kingdom, right? But the church today has what they're going to have for eternity, which is riches in heavenly places. We've got everything. We know we don't experience it yet all the time, and like we can't touch it, taste it, and feel it. But we have it, is what Paul teaches. And so it wouldn't matter if it was the church, but he's not talking about the church. He's talking about the remnant and the fulfillment of God's earthly purpose. Okay? Romans 11, verse 15. So that's what it means to be life from the dead there. Next, we'll pick it up in verse 16, where Paul says that the first fruit be holy. The lump is also holy. The first fruit is what? It's going to be the first fruits of that kingdom are who? These people. Right? If this is the first fruit, and that's a good thing, the riches, right? This is also going to be a good thing, if not better thing. Right? The lump is also holy. If the root be holy, the branches are as well. Who are the branches? People get the kingdom. Right? Not you. You're not part of the tree at all. And we'll see that in the next couple of weeks. You don't get grafted into the tree. You don't get broken off the tree. You're part of a body, flesh and flesh, bone and bone. You're not a tree. Okay? And so we'll get to that next week. Any questions or thoughts about those verses tonight?